Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Battle of 1-1 Sunday at 3:25. Texans Chargers out there in Los Angeles. Chargers coming off a loss to the Lions in which they turned the rock over twice in the red zone. Also had a couple more injuries, already entered the game with six starters out. This is Anthony Lynn after the loss to the Lions, talking about the team moving forward to the game against the Texans on Sunday.
We don't beat ourselves, and we've been pretty good at that. It was disappointing, but I know we'll learn from it, Eric, and I know we'll be a better team because of it. We feel like we let one get away, and it was our fault. And it's going to hurt, and it should hurt.
That's right after a loss like that to the Lions, and you just hear him. He's calling him by name. He's being real nice. Anthony Lynn, man, he seems like he's a pretty even-keeled fellow, that Anthony Lynn.
Well, he knows what he has. I mean, that really was – I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, if you've watched the Chargers and Philip Rivers for any amount of time, they are the just get close and fall short team, but they're always good. They're always.
Well, they've had some down years.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? By and large, they're
never trash.
Yes, exactly. So he knows what he has.
And I mean, when you have six injuries, let's be honest.
And that's what's scary about this game.
That's what's scary about it is we heard Bill O'Brien yesterday on the Bill O'Brien show with John Harris. You know, he was listening to things that need to go good for the Texans, and he said, you know, this team needs to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's rare in the NFL that you are as healthy as the Texans are right now. And you're facing a team that is probably going to be without seven or eight starters on Sunday in the Chargers, including their starting left tackle, one of the best safeties in the game. Melvin Gordon's out, starting tight ends out. Like, they are one of the most unhealthy teams in the league, and for whatever reason, they're still confident. A big part of why they're probably still confident is quarterback Philip Rivers, future Hall of Famer. Here's Philip Rivers talking about the mistakes that the Chargers made and how they correct those heading into the game against Houston on Sunday.
I don't think I think at this point that would be an excuse. I think that it could mount up. I mean, it could, I mean, you know, if it continues to happen. But right now, nothing we did out there today, from the fumble to the interception to the two touchdowns called back to, you know, a couple third and shorts we didn't convert, that had nothing to do with injuries. That's all self-inflicted. When you go on the road in this league and you do that, teams make you pay for it.
Maybe I'm getting a little too podium criticky, but I'm starting to get scared of the
No. This game has been kind of one that I've had a raised eyebrow all, even before the, well, certainly before they got there, had their injuries, but all off season, they're a good team, man. I mean, they're consistently going to put points up. They're consistently going to not get blown out. And when you have a quarterback like that, you're going to have a chance.
Here's Bill O'Brien on going on the road to Los Angeles. John McClain said he's picking the Chargers because the Texans haven't been able to go on the road and beat a good team yet. Here is Bill O'Brien talking about that challenge.
Yeah, I think playing on the road for us is pretty cool. I mean, we like to play on the road. We like to go on the road, and so we like being on the road. And, you know, it'll be a big challenge for us, but we'll be happy about being on the road.
Okay.
He likes to go on the road.
How many times do you say that? Let's go. Let's hit that one more time. Let's count the on the roads there from B.O.B.
Yeah, I think playing on the road for us is pretty cool. I mean, we like to play on the road. We like to go on the road. And so we like being on the road. And, you know, it'll be a big challenge for us, but we'll be happy about being on the road.
Five. How long is that clip, Figgy?
That was great.
10 seconds.
Oh, 10 seconds. Five. That's impressive. That is a I'm no mathematician, but that is once every 2 seconds, John Lopez. Here's something that concerns me about this game. The Texans and the way they approach games. We saw them against the Saints. They had a little bit more of a freestyle. The offense was doing their thing, and then they yucked it up against Jacksonville. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about why the Texans struggle to find an identity and why they look different when they face really good teams like the Saints and mediocre teams like Jacksonville led by a backup quarterback.
You knew it was going to be that type of game. Totally different game than the Saints. You know, these games, you have to have a feel for the game and try to manage the game properly to get to the point where you can win by a point. That's what you're trying to do. And so you're trying to win the game. I'm not saying you're trying to win the game by a point. You're trying to win the game. And so in the end, winning is the most important thing.
Oh. Now, I do totally agree with him on that. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Yeah, certainly you go into the game thinking, hey, now, let's get this offense rolling just like
let's
New
get
Orleans.
That dub.
But once you see that they're, they being the Jaguars, are really kind of have you figured out? And they're putting pressure on the quarterback, and you know they're limiting DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, well then your whole mindset changes. All right, so that's how it's going to be. You know, we're going to have to get down in the mud a little bit. And so I get that what he said.
You want to do some horn tooting right now?
Toot.
I'll toot yours and mine.
Toot.
I'll toot yours and mine.
Thank you.
Let me go ahead and toot the OG's horn because the OG 5 weeks ago said that Daniel Jones, the rookie quarterback for the New York Giants, would be the starter by week three. And the announcement came down today that, go ahead and give it to him, John.
Daniel Jones is replacing Eli Manning as the starter in week three.
So congratulations to you. You were 100% accurate on that.
I mean, you could see that coming, right?
Now let me toot my own horn,
toot,
too.
Toot.
Let me do it twice. I'm going to go twice.
I thought we made a sounder on this.
We did not, not yet. Yeah. But let me just say this. I said that Cam Newton, there's a possibility he doesn't face the Texans week four after they face the Chargers. Cam Newton's out of practice right now. He has a hurt foot. He's very questionable for the game on Sunday, so you could not see Cam Newton when he faces the Texans. I also said before the game against Jacksonville that if you beat the Jaguars, an implosion was possible. James E. Hedebo co-signed that, and I'll be damned if yesterday the news didn't come down that Jalen Ramsey, according to Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter, has asked for a trade from Jacksonville. Here's Ian Rapoport with the report yesterday on the NFL Network.
He has asked the Jaguars to trade him. This is coming on the heels of Sunday's confrontation with Coach Doug Marone on the sideline. Clearly, the frustration had been building. This is not just a one-time incident. This is something that has gone on really over the course of the past year. I'm also told there is some frustration from Ramsey's standpoint as far as how he's being used. There's a lot here, but here's what we know. Jalen Ramsey want out of Jacksonville.
This is the thing, John. I'm not sitting here saying that the Jags are tanking. I'm not saying that
they're
at all.
Not.
You pay, yeah, they're not at all. They still got a lot of talent. What I'm saying is the situation that you could see in the offseason developing with all the talk from Jalen Ramsey, all the extra annex, it's finally come to it's come full circle now. And one of the best players in the NFL who you credited for making that game close and probably getting the best of DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday.
Yeah.
He does not want to be a Jacksonville Jaguar anymore, and to me, that's an implosion.
Implosion might be a bit harsh. You can use that word. I'm not ready to go there because I think what they're doing is they're just trying to fix a problem. I think Doug Marone can't get along with him because keep in mind, Doug Marone came. I mean, it's always people always focus on the player. You know, oh look at him, he's a diva, he's angry, blah blah. Doug Marone came at him too. You know,
right?
So you got to remember that. So
sidelines, you're talking about?
Yeah, at the sideline, on the sideline. He doesn't like him, and Ramsey doesn't like Marone. So I think they're just trying to fix a problem here. The beneficiaries are everybody in the division because they're just not going to be as good. I really do think Jalen Ramsey was as big a reason why that game was close and the Jaguars had a chance to win as anyone on the field.
If I'm Sasha Khan, that's the guy's name that owns the Jags, right? Sasha Khan. If I'm him, I think I really have to evaluate this situation, and I have to ask myself, and I guess Tom Coughlin would be the one to make this decision. Am I more likely 5 years from now to have Jalen Ramsey still playing cornerback at a high level as one of the faces of my franchise, or is Doug Marone going to be here in 5 years? Because I think even if you look at it in a two-year window, a three-year window, however, I think it makes more sense to maybe even side with Jalen Ramsey. Now, I don't know if that means that you go fire Doug Marone week two, but
now then they really would be the NBA.
I don't think Doug Marone. I don't think Doug Marone is in this for the long run.
Fire the coach, keep the player.
Why not?
I mean, it happens in the NBA because players are so much more important in terms of wins and losses, an individual player. But even in the NFL, Jalen Ramsey's important for wins and losses. We just talked about that with how he played in that game. Let's play a little fantasy world game here.
I love it, dude.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because we both agree.
Talk to me.
John McClain agreed. No way, no how. Don't even think about Ramsey coming to the Texans.
Not happening.
Not going to happen. Okay? But Argar Michael, who's just tweeted us from Las Vegas, brought this question
Michael
up.
Michael B.
Brought this up on Twitter, so I'm stealing it from you, Michael.
Pick six.
Because I know you're listening on the radio.
When you steal someone's sports opinion, it's called a pick six.
And it just got me to thinking. So this total fantasy world, again, another not going to happen. But let me frame it this way.
Frame it however you want.
Is it a good trade for what team if you trade Jalen Ramsey for J.J. Watt straight up?
Oh, well, come on. I mean, come on.
I'm asking a question. Figgy, think about it. I want your answer too.
So you're just throwing this hypothetical.
This is total fantasy world. But who wins the trade, Jalen Ramsey for J.J. Watt? Straight up,
I think it's kind of like a double edged sword, because you know immediately if you're just looking at it right now, I think the concerns that you might have at cornerback, I think they just shift over to the defensive line, and all of a sudden your defensive line is thin, but you have good corners. So I think it's a double-edged sword. Now, if you're factoring in age and you're factoring in the fact that Jalen Ramsey, I think, is 23, 24 years old, then I think you would say that the Texans win that trade. But I don't think Jacksonville would be doing that. I don't even know if the money matches up at this point.
Texas, because they would be getting Ramsey. Right?
Yeah, I don't think Jacksonville would do it. And I don't think Texans would trade J.J. Watt, and I don't think they should.
No, of course not. But it's fantasy world here.
I agree with Landry. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think Jalen Ramsey would be around longer than J.J. Watt, but right now I think J.J. Watt will have a bigger impact.
Why are you trying to trade J.J.? What's wrong with you?
I prefaced the entire conversation. I just thought it was interesting.
You see the weather out there right now? Yeah. You're getting struck by lightning as soon as you go home, OG.
I literally said fantasy world.
Who do we want filling in for John tomorrow? He's going to hell on scholarship after the show. You're just trading J.J. Watt.
I did not.
Let John have it. 713-572-4610. Tell John Lopez that we don't want to trade J.J. Watt in this city. Tell him you love him. All the drama in the NFL. Let's just go through what's going on right now in the NFL. So Jalen Ramsey wants to be traded. Mm-hmm. The Steelers, they traded a first-round pick for defensive back Mika Fitzpatrick from the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins now have three first-round picks in the 2020 draft. Taco Charlton of the Dallas Cowboys, he wants to be released. The NFL's getting crazy. It's getting almost NBA-like, where players are trying to force their way out of town. Steve Young yesterday, before Monday Night Football, said that this is bad, bad, bad for the NFL.
It is now the NBA. I think this is the NBA now, and front offices of the NFL are going to have to deal with the fact that if you lose a couple games or get into all sideline altercation, that guy's going to demand a trade. He's a big name. What are you going to do about it? They didn't put on a hard line. There's no one going to be traded. They're going to have to come together as a league and say, we're not going to do this because it'll be insane.
Steve Young's a hypocrite. I said it before. I'll say it again. I'll stand by it. He is the epitome of what these players are doing right now. I kind of like it. I like the fact that players in a short window can manipulate where they're going to play. Steve Young signed a contract with the USFL, the richest contract.
Like a four-decade deal or something
43
ridiculous?
Years, $40 million.
Okay. That's real?
He signed that. Of course, it probably didn't come up to that, but Steve Young.
Would he still be under contract?
He still would be.
Still going 43 years?
Yeah. Actually, I just saw a report, a story. He made $1 million in 2014 from the USFL deal that he signed in 1984.
Good for him.
So you want to know what a hypocrite looks like? Look at Steve Young on ESPN.
Okay.
Because he chased the dollars in the USFL exactly like these guys are trying to do. Not only that, but he was in Tampa and got traded. Forced his way out.
Then forced Joe Montana out in San Fran.
Right.
I remember it well.
To San Francisco.
I remember it very well.
How is he even taking this stance?
I don't know. He played hardball. There were talks back then. This was in the 90s. I don't know why I have such a good memory on this stuff, but there was like talks on Monday Night Football about how they were trying to force Joe Montana out and his agent wanted him to begin to start and all that kind of stuff. Like it's he's always been, I mean, he's not Mr. like lunch pail athlete. I mean, he's always played hardball and using his leverage. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, you're not calling him a hypocrite because you disagree with the way he handled himself as a player. You just think it's a little bit too hypocritical to have used your leverage at one time and now all of a sudden get mad when someone like Jalen Ramsey uses his leverage.
Exactly. He signed a $40 million, 43-year contract with the USFL.
Is that a minimum deal now?
43-year contract.
Who signs a 43-year contract, dude?
And like, now he's like, the players are going to run the league. You ran the USFL.
43-year contract? What in the world is that?
And had he not gotten traded from Tampa to San Francisco, he wouldn't have even been on television right now.
No. And then we know he won that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Beat the San Diego Chargers. I remember that like it was yesterday. I think it was the first year that the two-point conversion came back.
Was it?
It was either the first year the two-point conversion came back or the year before, because I remember the commercial that there used to be a referee playing a guitar, and he would sing that he was looking forward to the season, and he was saying, especially the two-point conversion. And I just remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday, Figgy. I got that photographic memory when it comes to watching games.
There you go.
I don't know why. Astros, they host the Rangers tonight. 11 games remaining. They're tied with the Yankees for the best record in baseball. They do not face another team in those 11 games that has a record over 500. So no more Oakland A's, no more of that jazz. The Astros facing a very soft schedule, 11 games remaining. Do they capture the best record in baseball, OG?
Man.
Of course they do.
I got to make a
pick. Of course
pick,
they
huh?
do.
You think?
Yes. You heard the schedule I just laid out?
No, I did. I heard it.
Yeah, they get it. And then.
All right,
I'm
in. I mean, they get it.
But I don't – I got to say, I'm not as confident
about
this. Are
you going to talk me out of it?
No, I'm not talking you out of it. I'll talk you into that.
Okay.
I'll talk you into that. But I'm concerned about this team more than I was when they made the Greinke trade. I don't know what I'm getting from Wade Miley each time. Justin Verlander has pitched Cy Young caliber, but you see him give up the home runs every once in a while that in close games, those don't work out. Garrett Cole, he's been amazing too, but I'm just – I'm a little bit scared. And – Ryan Pressly, Brad Peacock, are you going to come back or not? I'm scared, dude.
Right.
Got Will Harris in there. Rondon.
Those last two you mentioned are the ones that are probably the most unnerving, right?
Ryan Pressly, you had the eighth on lock. We were even talking about, should Ryan Pressly be used on ninth? I know he's been such a big part of things the last couple of years.
Yeah.
A little bit concerned.
Yeah.
A little bit concerned. Plus, Yankees are a damn good team.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
so are the Twins, by the way.
The Yankees aren't giving any ground.
Oh, and by the way, the A's, do you want to see the A's in the playoffs?
No. Do not want to see the A's. The Braves all of a sudden are pretty dang good.
The Braves are a threat to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And that happened quick. Who did they bring in?
Dallas.
Dallas who? Dallas he's got a beard, right?
Klee.
Dallas Keuchel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's with that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. 713-572-4610. If you want to have some lunch within the loop, send your pictures of your food in as well. Let us know what you're eating on. Yesterday, the OG John Lopez. He was critical of Bill O'Brien's in-game management. Texans head coach responded a few hours later on this air. We'll hear what B.O.B. had to say, and we'll hear what the OG has to say in response to B.O.B. Lunchtime next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.